We're in our 8 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Victory Monday.
Isn't that a question? Asking if you can ask a question?
I'm excited. I think we're all excited. We're 5-3, 4-0 in the division.
What place to win?
Swept Tampa Bay. First place, baby.
There it is.
And then after what I just pulled off in the matter of 2 minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
Do I have to do the bad of Man Up? Because, I mean.
Whoa.
I just hooked Mike up with two. This man looked me in the face. Looked me in the face, Tiffany. In the face.
I also questioned you. It doesn't matter what
he looked you in your eye sockets.
He goes, you think Mike Conti can hook me up with tickets? Like, I have never been anywhere near the organization.
Don't act like Conti's a nobody.
He's not. He's not. He's the man. We all know that. He's my boss, your boss.
Yeah.
He's the voice of Atlanta United.
Yeah.
But you looked me in the face and had the audacity to.
Are you questioning your manhood? Is that what he did?
Yeah.
Tiff, was it disrespectful that I brought up Conti before I did Bo in Atlanta United circles?
No.
Okay. That's
absolutely
my point.
Not. No.
Yeah.
Disrespectful.
Either way.
No. Dylan, disrespectful.
I do appreciate it. And shout out to the ticket hookup. Whatever direction that's coming from, man. That's huge. Yeah. My wife's going to be stoked.
TZ's a man.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. Now I guess we can man up now, Tiff.
You didn't appreciate that, did you?
Boy, disrespect.
You didn't like that, did you?
Disrespect all over the place, Tiff. Mike disrespects me. Dylan, you know what? I'm thankful for you today because you ain't disrespected me yet.
I'm not at full strength.
I was going to say, we're only 2/3 of the way through the show. Don't give her credit yet.
give me a minute. Let's kick in.
Give her a minute to find something. She'll latch on.
I had something actually to say right then, but because you said that, I backed off. I backed off. I was going to say, maybe it's just your face. And it just looks like,
Well, that's all of us.
You might just bring on yourself.
We call Day-Day in one of these rooms, so I got a little bit of love somewhere.
Bo, before y'all man up and say I do have to add in Mike saying he was wrong into the intro, and that'll happen for next. Yeah. It'll be there from next
week. Must have happened last week.
But. Yeah, I've had to say that more times than I like. That definitely, the wrong was definitely after the Georgia-Texas game, though.
Well, real quick, I'll tell you someone that I'm going to man up real quick outside of the cuts. I'm very critical of the owner in Charlotte that owns their soccer team and their football team.
Yeah.
And I need to man up and say that he did a hell of a thing this weekend. They had a charity concert with Luke Combs and Eric Church.
Eric Church, yeah.
They raised, I think it was $24 million in total.
Wow.
Every dollar from that concert went to the Helene Assistance of what North Carolina's going through.
I believe Marty Smith hosted that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tiff, he gave them the venue for free. He gave them the concessions for free. He basically took a huge hit, and there was no operating costs whatsoever for that concert, and all of the money raised went to that Helene assistance.
So that's big.
I just want to man him say, you know what? I've called him out a lot of times the way he handles his organization, but that was a hell of a job, David Tepper.
I completely agree, man. Nice job. Way to go.
All right, now you got to man up, so I don't want to man up twice in a row.
All right, do we want to go good or bad first?
Well, you should go bad because you've been bad so far.
All right, Dylan, my bad was actually going to be, and it's out of character, but I went out and I went on a limb. I said the Saints are getting back healthy. 7.5-point underdogs to the Denver Broncos. I was like, Spencer Rattler still playing quarterback, but I think these guys getting back almost to full strength, they should be able to cover that. The Saints this weekend, and I hate to do this, the Saints are 7.5-point underdogs against the Chargers. Actually, I think it's kind of gone down to 7, so I'll stick with the 7. You talk about rest deficit, and you got to look at this one, I think, Rob. The Saints, coming off the Thursday night, they get a little mini bye week. It looks like Cesar Ruiz, Chris Olave, a number of their other players will be able to at least surround Spencer Rattler and give him a little bit of something this week. I think the Saints, with the mini bye, a little bit healthier, plus the 7 points, I think that's a much tighter game. I like the Saints this weekend for my NFL luck.
Yeah, just pain. It was pain everywhere.
That ain't it, man. Obviously, they get the doors beat off of them.
By the Chargers.
Yeah, by the Chargers.
26-8, I think.
Yeah,
is
that was not good.
What I love is that not only you were wrong, but you were wrong by picking the Saints.
Yeah, I know. I know. What a bad deal.
Oh, it's so good. Right,
well, there's my mea culpa right there.
And you know
Sorry
what?
About that. I was wrong.
You know what's equally as bad?
Yeah.
The college version of the Saints for me. I thought could have enough of an impact in the contest.
Woo!
Or at least that Miami or would just be so dreadful that Miami just hung 50 on them.
Right.
But they were somewhere between bad and not terrible,
yeah,
but not so terrible.
Do you want to just
mediocrity?
Go ahead and get to it.
I thought Florida State and Miami would go over the
There's
over.
Your disrespect you've been waiting on from Tiff. So.
I mean, you're like pleading. You're kind of pleading your case.
I had to pull it out of her.
You're tap dancing around what's about to happen.
Because I just thought that I would get more, but Dylan, just play the tape.
Thank you.
Miami and Florida State. Oh. FSU is coming down to the Hard Rock. The over is 54.5. I'm going to tell you something. One thing Miami does is score points. You know what else they do?
Hmm.
They let the other guys
score
points. The last five results, 62-0, 50-15, 38-34, 39-38, and 52-45. That's Miami's last five. You know what Florida State can't do? They can't score. But Miami's going to score for them. Get the over in 54.5.
They're going to score for them.
I think Miami drops a 50 burger on Florida State this week.
Psych! That's the wrong number.
Mike Norvell's.
I think that's worse than me picking the Saints.
Picking
a 1-6 Florida State Seminoles is worse than me picking the Saints.
I didn't pick them to cover. I just picked the over to be over 54.5, and Mike Norvell's incompetence knows no bounds.
Whenever someone says, let me tell you something, they're about to be wrong. Just keep that in mind.
Let me tell you. Let me ask you something. Let me tell you something. all right, can we flip and actually kind of pat ourselves?
I want to take
both
a shot so bad right now.
Just do it.
But
do
I'm
it.
Not.
We,
I'm not.
Do it.
Play
go
nice. No, I'm
going
to play nice. People have been nice to me this morning. I'm going to be nice
okay.
to other people.
We both went 2-2 this weekend, right? You went
2-2?
Right. We both went 2-2 this weekend. So I will play one of my goods, and I'll be honest. I'm going to be honest with you.
Okay.
Really? Because I love it when you're honest
with
me. I don't like it when someone lies to me.
I was trying to point to her. I'm going
to
be honest with you.
Tell me the truth now.
The games that I have had the good, I have nailed for the last few weeks. And Texas A&M and LSU, well, yeah, Dylan, this one was no different. I'm going A&M as well, and LSU fans don't tweet us and say, you never gave us a chance. Right? It just is what it is, man. I think Texas A&M's built better.
Just against the world, man.
Yeah, look, Texas A&M is built grittier. And I think LSU is going to come up. They're going to load the box. They're going to force Connor Wegman to do some things through the air. But even when they've done that, when LSU's done that, it hasn't really worked out for them all the time. I think that there's a lot of positive things going on with LSU. I just don't think they are built for games like this against gritty, blue-collar, A-gap teams like Texas A&M. Texas A&M has had their hiccups. Don't get me wrong. But I just think when it comes down to it, Connor Wegman makes somebody miss, maybe even in the running game, and A&M is able to squeak this one out. But I do think it's going to be a barn burner, man. And I think that that atmosphere just might be the edge for me, right?
We were more trained. We were more together. And we found a way. Yeah. Let's get a grind down two, right? And then let's have some fun.
Let's go! 1-2! Turn the f***ing field!
Now, granted, I swung and missed on it being Wegman's legs, but Marcel Reed, that was plenty enough, right? And then you get the A&M atmosphere, the grittier team. Also, it wasn't in that clip, but I said Garrett Nussmeier is like last year's Sam Howell with the Commanders. He's going to throw for 300 yards, but he's going to put one up to bat as well, and one of these quarterbacks is going to make a mistake in the second half. It's going to cost the game.
Yeah, he's definitely a gunslinger, Tiff. It's funny, too, is when I did the pick, I had talked about the atmosphere there, like as you just mentioned, when Marcel Reed came in and they scored that touchdown off that first turnover, that first touchdown that he was in for, everything flipped. Everything. Because LSU was in complete control.
Yes, they were.
They were quieting the crowd for the most part, and it just flipped everything. So I picked the game as well. Good pick, because I picked it the same as you. Before I was doubted at 7:42, Dylan, this morning. And before I was just...
You really timestamped that?
Disrespected.
Just basically treated like a nobody, which I probably am the most.
Well,
I can't disrespect you again.
Not this room. Mike.
Don't set
Mike
yourself up.
Oh, no. Don't you dare pick.
I already did
my bad.
He did the same with Dallas, saying that Dallas was going to come in
there. You're going to double my
play
bad?
Play the tape, Dylan!
You're going to... I like the Niners to win the football game, but I'm going to zig when you zag right here. I actually like the Cowboys to cover the 4.5. I think the Niners win. I think they win by a field goal. But I still think there's some pride in the line for the Cowboys. I agree with you. Things are an absolute mess in Dallas, dude. Like, nothing's going right. But the team's simply too talented to carry on like that. Brock Purdy has played okay, not great, not even really good. He's played okay. I think somebody in the secondary steps up, makes a big pick, and I think that Dallas keeps it tight. So Dallas plus the 4.5 for me.
Well, this is not your job. Get somebody else
to please file this in your memory bank as well. When someone says, I'm a zig, when you zag,
yeah.
They're also going to be your.
I'm just going to tell you, I don't hate that bad pick for me.
Guess what? Trayvon Diggs did step up after the game in the post-game presser and decided to tell someone to get on D's.
I don't hate myself for that pick. I was close.
Let's listen how the right side of that pick sounded. I trust Kyle Shanahan a lot more in a regular season game in October than I do Zimmer. And that's who he's going against. That's the matchup.
Yeah.
So I don't care if he's got guys banged up. The Cowboys are a mess. The head coach is being called out by the owner for the bad play calls. Give me the Niners to cover. 4.5.
When I say bang bang, I say not again. Bang bang.
Not again.
What?
Tell you what, you can't get any more genius than that.
I don't feel that bad about that pick. I was close, man. The Cowboys kept it close. They didn't keep it in a field goal close, but it was close.
I just love the fact that you put in there that someone in the secondary is going to step up. And meanwhile, we got reporters calling out Trayvon, rightfully or unrightfully so, which I'm not going to – that's a gray area I'm not going to get into because I don't watch Trayvon Diggs enough to know how he plays week in and week out because I don't get to – I cover my team. And if I see effort from somebody, I'm going to talk about that. I don't like calling out effort a lot because it's hard to judge, but at least he stepped up at some point. Maybe wrong week, though. I hope he doesn't come into this week wanting to – it could work out well for us. Put a little double move on him because he likes to jump routes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Him and Deron Bland, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Okey-doke.
Drawing up plays over there, coach.
We ain't there yet, though. We ain't there yet. Let's celebrate this one.
Yeah, still 24-hour rule. Still 24-hour rule.
You can keep the celebration going because Dave Archer – your former Atlanta Falcons QB and analyst for Atlanta Falcons Radio Network is joining us here on the show. That's on the other side on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are back here on the morning shift, and we are going straight to the WadeFord.com hotline. That is where we find former Atlanta Falcons quarterback and analyst for Atlanta Falcons Radio Network, Dave Archer, joining us here on the show. How are you feeling, Dave, after the Falcons win now 4-0 in the NFC South?
Yeah, good. Doing good, Tiff. Doing good. Did you get any gambling in when you were out in Vegas?
I did not, but I've been there more times than I can count. Maybe we could do a crowdfund, and you guys could just give me some money the next time I'm sent out there. And
there
I'll just
go.
Give you a cut back. Maybe, you know, only take,
okay.
I don't know, 65%.
Well, definitely don't listen to me.
Some guarantees. As long as you give us some guarantees, you're going to win.
Well, I like losing my own money, not somebody else losing it. All right, so I want to get into a lot of things. I know we want to get into a lot of things, but I talked to you earlier this morning, and it was a play that I thought kind of changed the game in a lot of ways. And to me, it's a turnover is when you can – when a team tries to fake a punt on their own side of the 50 and you can you can stop that. What happened on that play? Can you break it down on what Kadarius Hodge did? I know he's normally lined up over the gunner. Walk us through that.
Well, what they did is they reduced that side, meaning they brought the gunner in, if I'm not mistaken, brought the gunner in from that left side, their left side, our right defensively, which immediately, you know, if you don't have a lot of people in the punt block, if you've got 10 people on the line and they reduce and they bring the gunners in, then they're trying to protect against a punt being blocked. But if they bring a guy in, that's all of a sudden your ears perk up a little bit. And then Kadarius, and I talked to him after the game, he just felt like something was kind of fishy going on. So that's kind of a gut feel. Obviously, you study some tape and stuff, and Marquise does a great job of getting those guys in and studying some of the looks that Tampa presents or Dallas this next weekend would present in a punt situation where there might be a fake going on. But I just give him credit for instincts. I give Marquise Williams a ton of credit for having those guys prepared. And then when he saw the look, he didn't wait. He crashed, just came straight in and made the play and just disrupted the blocking. Remember, those guys that are in a punt block situation or in a punt situation, they're covering the kick. They're not you know, they're blocking to a certain extent, and Mike can tell you it's almost like a pass block. You're losing ground, then they kick it. It's not like they're used to coming off the ball and drive blocking anybody to create running lanes for something. Now, they practice it a little bit, but it's not like something they spend a lot of time on. So Cordero blew up the blocking on the play, just decided to give his body up and knife in there and make the play. So a lot of instinct, a lot of prep, certainly, and then maybe some signs that they were going to potentially do something because of what they did with the formation.
Yeah. Also, you know, look, man, either way they block it, incredible play by Cordero Hodge knifing through there. You're right. Good tackle. And he had his spidey senses kind of tingling a little bit, Arch. I love that. But one of the things I want to dive into, Arch, we talked about it throughout the week, that this would be a game that you felt like the Bucs would try to come and run it down your throat. They got five healthy linemen, three running backs that are good players. And throughout the first quarter, they did that. It didn't seem like we could stop them at all. I don't know if it was an adjustment. I know that we kind of went to a bare front at times, Eddie Goldman at the nose and a couple B-gap defenders there in the second quarter. But I'm not sure, and I want to get your opinion, why Tampa steered away from the run. It seemed like they were doing whatever they wanted to on the ground. Then suddenly they stopped giving it a go.
I think there's a pretty good case that they're probably doing the same thing in the meeting rooms this morning, Mike, as to wondering what, you know, with all the success they were having run the football. I think 64 yards rushing in the first quarter. I think they ended up with 74 in the first half and just 18 yards in the second half running the ball. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like the game got out of shape. You know, it wasn't like you got way behind. Now, you did get down at 1 point, 14 points, and maybe that shifts gears a little bit in the fourth quarter. But that idea of coming out in the second half and reestablishing yourself in the ground game, I think Atlanta did a few things. They might have tried to run dog a little bit to try to take some things away. But I didn't. When I asked Raheem after the game about that, did you do something different? There was kind of a vague answer. He really just guys competing and stuff like that. So to be honest with you, I'm gonna have to wait till we do his coaching show this afternoon, and I'll ask him again after he's now had a chance to look at the tape. Did something happen there to where you either took the run away or they got away from the run? We'll find out this afternoon. We talked to Raheem Morris on his coach's show. It comes on, at 6 o'clock tonight during Dukes and Bell. So, but I don't have a great answer for you. I would be in one if I'd been the quarterback, if I'd been Baker Mayfield, I'd walk over and said, hey, what are we doing? Why are we not running the football? Because they weren't able to stop it. So, maybe a few adjustments, but maybe just Tampa, you know, maybe sticking the chest out and say, hey, we want to throw the ball.
Dave, when it comes to Jesse Bates, and I talk a lot about him just in the sense of, acquiring him in free agency, and he just it just keeps working out for him, right? Like, he brings so much to this defense, has a forced fumble, a fumble recovery, and an interception. How did he help to kind of set the tone and at least, you know, give the Falcons a chance to win this game?
Yeah, it all starts with him, Tiff, is the way he practices, the way he works. He's not a guy that's playing around or anything like that when they're out there practicing. I'm sure he has his fun, but very serious guy when it comes to getting prepared to play. He's a guy that talks with, you know, the offensive side. He sits down with Kirk and goes over tape. He sits down with some of the younger players on the defense and goes over tape and stuff like that. So it begins with his preparation. And then he's just got a knack for getting to the ball. He's got a great instinct to get to the football. Now, the interception is a spectacular play. He credits Mike Hughes for playing kind of half, playing that half area and then sliding over to help him because he was an invert safety. He had the low safety spot, and they had a corner rotate back. And that actually turned out to be – Jimmy Lake called that twice defensively down near the red zone. Now, his interception was just outside the red zone, but AJ's interception was a red zone interception as well. And if you look, the corner rolls from that corner spot or deep third spot and rolls kind of into a half safety spot, and they invert the safety, and the safety kind of takes the corner spot as the flat defender. And AJ read it and came in front and made that diving interception. Well, that's what they had on in this play as well, and a great job by Jesse to lose ground with Hughes kind of playing over the top to disrupt the look a little bit, and then he makes an unbelievable play, makes a circus catch on the interception. So, but his ability to punch the ball out, I compared him to Peanut Tillman. I mean, a guy that I remember back, and Mike, you probably remember back with the Chicago Bears. I mean, the knack for him to be able to get the ball out is incredible. He punches the ball out. He's always doing it. He says he's talking to his teammates all the time. He says, this is what we got to do. You got to punch at the football. You're seeing more and more guys trying to do that when they're coming in on tackles. Obviously, you want to wrap up and put guys on the ground, but if you can get the ball out, obviously that's a difference-making type deal. And for Jesse to make that play, what, second play of the game, he punches the ball out? I mean, big, big-time play to kind of change and give a different feel to the game right off the start. So he's just a ball hawk and a leader and a guy that prepares as hard as he possibly can.
Yeah, he's got the landmine doing it. When he's not bending his own face mask, he punched the ball out on that fourth down scramble
that was almost huge.
Sneak by Mayfield. Also, Archie, the punt just came back up. They had moved Kadarrell inside, yeah. And he did a good job of finding and the vision of the runner. Speaking of just guys that are kind of locked in, though, Kirk Cousins, holy smokes, 65 of 87, 785 yards, 8 touchdowns, and 70, right at 75% completion percentage against Tampa Bay. And I didn't even mention his legs, Arch. How is a guy who isn't known as a mobile quarterback able to just shred a defense that loves to pressure and to disguise their blitzes so well as Todd Bowles is known for?
Well, he's got a great feel for what they're doing, obviously, and he spends a lot of time preparing, just like Jesse does. But this is a team that he got into a zone in two different occasions, right? I asked him about it, just being in a zone and what that's like, and he says, hey, you're seeing things pre-snap. That's something that you think that maybe Todd Bowles' defense is presenting. They're muddy in the water. A lot of guys up in the line of scrimmage. This guy's going to drop. He's got a good read for it. He's got a read whether they're coming. Now, they got to him a couple of times. You remember correctly, they came with a couple of pressures off one edge. In fact, I think they came over Caleb McGarry. They lined up three guys either on his head or outside, and two guys dropped and one guy came, and we didn't block the guy that came and was in the face of Cousins. He had to throw the ball away, but Just an excellent feel for what he's seeing. I think he gets more and more comfortable each and every week that he goes into things. I thought it was a nice rebound after last week. I didn't think the team played very well last week. He said that. But he's got a rapport with these wide receivers. The ball's coming out on time. I love some of the early throws he's making. He made a throw to Darnell Mooney on the sideline. I'm telling you, you go back and look at it. He hits Mooney on the sideline right before the end of the first half. On a play that's the corner, the safety's playing a half safety, but he's rolling that direction, and the corner's losing ground with Mooney up the field, and he drops a little bench route into Mooney that is as sweet a throw as you'll ever see. I don't care who's throwing it. It was a phenomenal throw. He was just in that zone, and that's fun. I wasn't in that zone very often, but when you get into it, man, that's a fun place to be.
Finishing up with Dave Archer. Dave, I don't want to overreact because the drive didn't land any points because of the missed field goal, but I would argue that the drive they started with 6 minutes and some change left in the game and taken all the way down to the one-minute mark that ended in the missed field goal was one of the most important drives of the season so far, I think, for the Atlanta Falcons. Not only did you get the rare Charlie Warner catch, you got the Kirk Cousins scramble and the Kirk Cousins QB sneak right there in the middle of that drive. I thought it was excellent. I want to know what you saw in that drive that kind of allowed them to put away a number of minutes off the clock.
Yeah, Mike, to be specific, I'm looking at my notes right here. We took over with 6:52 left, so almost 7 minutes left in the game, and you went on this drive. Remember, you overcame the face mask penalty on Neusel, which made it, what, first and 22, huge. First and 23? And so you overcame a major penalty in that drive as well. Of course, you talked about the Cousins run for 13 yards, and then on fourth down, they do the little tush push and shoving for a first down. Killed all their timeouts, I think, in the drive as well, and they got the ball back with under a minute. It was a defining drive in the game. Now it would have been finished if we'd seen Youngway knock it through, right, and then you'd made it an 8-point lead. But ultimately, those are the kind of drives that are hard to go on. You know as well as I do, Mike, when people know that you're trying to kill the clock and they're ganging up against the run and you're still able to crease them or make some plays or be willing to throw the football. Remember, after they got first and 22 after the face mask, Zach Robinson stayed aggressive. He threw the football out to the outside to Drake London. London got about 8 or 9 of the 22 back on that first play. And so I thought that the aggressive play call to kind of keep them in the game, not start looking at the clock too early. And then once they got inside 4 minutes, then really Kirk really started to bleed the clock pretty hard. And then, of course, his run was a pivotal play. But I agree with you. I think that was a defining moment in the game. showed a lot of backbone from that offense. You knew the defense had been on the field a great deal, and they did a great job of sealing the game there, no question. Mm.
Falcons in the driver's seat in the NFC South at 4-0. Dave, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate y'all.
That was Dave Archer, former Atlanta Falcons QB and analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network, joining us. You can follow him at ArcherQB16 on X. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We've got a Life of Squid up next.
I got a new favorite offensive lineman.
Oh.
Sure ain't the guy sitting in here.
Oh.
Next, Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, and...
The Odyssey, yeah.
That's right. I like how that lady says, Squid Billy. Mm. Kind of makes me laugh in the imaging. That's right, W sauce, breakfast sauce, Bloody Mary, mix, Key West style.
Mm.
And my friends at New Realm, Owl Inn. You can get it at Twin Peaks, by the way. So next time you go see both Twin Peaks, next time you go, Kennesaw and... Buckhead. So next time you go down and see Dukes and Bell or Andy and Randy, or just go to Twin Peaks in general.
I was going
to
say, don't have to twist my arm. Love Twin Peaks.
You can go get the Owl Inn Hoodoo. Lager right there. Hoo-de-hoo. That's right, Dylan. All right.
Was that a drop or was that Dylan?
That was Dylan.
That was me. Live and in the flesh.
You better be careful. Your West Georgia car be taken away.
Ooh.
I mean, I'm not going to take it away, but, you know, somebody else might.
Do people even consider West Georgia like a real, like,
Whoa. Hold on now. We are D1 now, I will let you know, Ms. Blackman.
I was just, you know.
Don't disrespect the West Georgia name.
All right, well, I'm not going to let Georgia State and West Georgia squabble during a Kennesaw State segment and my segment, all right? So y'all just, you know, I am a loyal person, I like to think. If you come at me or one of mine, I'll choose violence quickly. And I'm not afraid of that. And yesterday, a dirty saint decided to choose violence against Justin Herbert. And it was just a dirty play. Nathan Shepard has him in his grasp and around his ankle, and he keeps kind of rolling with his ankle. Some would call it kind of like a gator roll. Because it's a lot like how gators, when they get you in the water,
it's a death roll.
That's right. Look at you. You've been watching National Geographic before. I bet Swamp People was your favorite show where they killed the gators.
No.
Yeah, the gators need to be killed. You have to eat them.
Shoot them.
Horrible.
My boy, Troy. Shoot. You got to shoot. Shoot. Anyways, Justin Herbert, Nathan Shepard get tangled up. And here's how it sounded when Bradley Bozeman came to the aid of his QB.
And then watch. Yeah, I don't. What are you doing there?
Oh, yeah, and you saw it.
You see Bradley Bozeman. Heck no, man. Those offensive linemen treat the quarterback like King Arthur, and they're the knights of his court. You know what I mean?
Mm. Well said. Is that Mark Sanchez? Well said, Mark.
I don't know. He sounded more like Bobby Carpenter to Mark Sanchez. But I know Bobby Carpenter doesn't do NFL games.
Barbie Carpenter.
Can I, as an offensive lineman, before we get to Bradley's take on this play, when you watched that video, did it make you feel a certain way?
Did it unearth some certain emotions? Absolutely.
Could you stand up?
I can't.
In public?
One of my college quarterbacks was John Parker Wilson. I was in his wedding. I gave a speech at his wedding about this. I was like, you know what, man? I've had this guy's back for a long time. So, I'm ready to go to war with anybody who has those kind of emotions. Yeah.
I probably watched this, Tiff, on the plane with Wes and Arch, and then before I watched it on the bus, and then we watched it together. I probably watched it 35 times yesterday, just because it was like a bear in the wild that saw his cub in danger.
You mean her cub?
Yeah, whatever. Him, her. I mean, I didn't think it mattered, but there's Papa Bears too, you know. But I thought it was amazing. I just loved it. Here's what Bradley Bozeman said about the play in the postgame.
Yeah, you know, it was probably one of the dirtier plays I've ever seen, you know, especially with my own eyes, to, you know, think the ball's gone 2-3 seconds and he's still gator rolling, he's on the ground, he's still gator rolling, and, you know, just protect your quarterback no matter what. I think any of the offensive linemen that was in that position would have done the exact same thing. So, you know, had to get him off of him, and we did.
Can anybody guess where that young man went to college at? I bet you can't guess. The University of Alabama.
You can hear.
You can hear it in his voice as right Carl there. It's probably one of the dirtier plays I've ever seen.
Yeah, Carl Dukes always put a lot of emphasis on the Alabama.
It's the old Forrest Gump.
You know, that is exactly – that's why I used to love – Joe Hawley used to do this at the end of plays where when the guy was making tackles, you see Joe Hawley
– Smoking Joe.
He would come in and clear the pile because he would just hit the pile out of nowhere. And it was something that what was Harvey Dahl did
Harvey
it too.
Dahl, man.
Harvey Dahl.
Paul Boudreau used to love that.
Yeah.
Golly.
I loved it too. It's why Joe Hawley – I mean –
Careful.
I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings in
Joe's
this room.
Joe's my guy too.
But it was why Joe Hawley was
my officiant at my wedding.
It was why Joe Hawley was my favorite player on the Falcons offensive line when he played here because when he played, he would be the guy running down the field at the end and he would get off my guy. And I loved that. I just love there's something about taking up for your own and I have a mad respect. Bradley Bozeman. A ton of respect.
Yeah, shout out to Joe Hawley, man. He's living somewhere just off the grid out in the middle of Texas. He's just like, you know what? Cut all ties. I'm out.
I hope he at least has the Odyssey app on.
This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We'll find out what's coming up on the Steakhouse next on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 98.9 The Game.